Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Song for Van Persie. Is there still one more twist in the tail here? Song takes over again. Out for Theo Walcott. Van Persie, Ramsey, Jovinho in the box. It might fall for Vermaelen. It has fallen for Vermaelen. And Arsenal have won it with virtually the last kick of the match.
It was a tricky game, a very tough game for me. It was also the first experience playing in Stoke. Of course, I've been warned before by the coach, by the players, how it is to play there. You remember that image for a long time. I was just basically very sad for Aaron. You know, I knew how long it would take him out. He's a good guy, a great player. I was very sad for him. Personally, it didn't make me scared or anything on the pitch. That didn't change my way of playing. It was just like, as I said, I was not sad for him for what happened.
Hello and welcome to In Lockdown, in partnership with Camden Town Brewery. I'm Josh James. If you've been enjoying this series so far, please let us know in the reviews section at iTunes, and remember to subscribe to the show as well, wherever you get your podcast from. Our guest this time is Thomas Vermaelen, who spent 5 seasons at Arsenal, 2 of them as captain, building himself a reputation as a goal-scoring defender, scoring 15 in all from his 150 appearances. So hi Thomas, thanks for joining us remotely today. How's lockdown going for you, first of all, and your young family at the moment?
Hello, hi. Actually, considering the situation, not too bad at the moment. I'm in Japan, and considering the rules, we can at least go out. We can have some outside air, you know. And if you consider to the rules they have in Europe, it's much better here.
Just looking forward to getting back to football, I guess.
I mean, of course, yeah, we're all waiting to go back. I mean, it's a long time now. We're without training, playing competitive games. So that's a bit difficult. We have to train on our own. As I said, at least I can go out and run. You know, I don't have to stay inside. But of course, you want that ball back and you want to be back on the pitch. So that's a bit difficult at the moment, yes.
Yeah, so instead today, let's talk about when you were playing football back at Arsenal. Take you back in time to when you were 23 years old. You joined from Ajax in the summer of 2009, and you had captained the team at Ajax, hadn't you, under Marco van Basten towards the end. So was it a difficult decision, first of all, to leave Ajax?
Of course, yeah. I spent in Amsterdam, like, I think 8 years. The first 3 years of that were still in my youth years, so I was 15 when I left my hometown. So it was difficult to leave Ajax. I had a long time. I felt home there in Amsterdam as well, so it was not easy. But of course, if Arsenal comes, you know, at that time it was it's a great club, so you want to improve yourself and you want to go to the English Premier League as well, because I was watching that every weekend on the Dutch television. So of course for me that was it was a difficult decision, but of course I wanted to go to England.
And you knew a bit about Arsenal, I'm guessing, as you said, you watched it on TV, but also you'd played in the Dennis Bergkamp testimonial, hadn't you, a few years earlier, which was the opening of Emirates Stadium. What were your memories of that day, and what were the Ajax players saying about the stadium back then?
I mean, that was an amazing in memory, as you said. It was the testimonial of Dennis Bergkamp, a legend of Arsenal, but also Ajax. And I remember we played, the first team played for the first 45 minutes, and I think Dennis played in that first 45 minutes as well. So that was quite nice for me. It was my direct opponent as well, so that was quite special. And after, I think the second 45 minutes were all the legends of both clubs playing against each other, if I can remember very well.
Yeah, that's right. Johan Cruyff.
Yes, exactly. And to see all these big names coming on the pitch, I was still young then, so that was quite impressive for me to see all these names there and playing against each other.
And you'd also played at Highbury as well, hadn't you, for Ajax a couple of seasons earlier. Do you remember anything about that stadium and that occasion?
Yes, for sure. That was my debut season in Ajax. I think we played Champions League in the group phase. Yeah, we faced Arsenal. That was one of my first games as well as in the first team to play the home game against in Amsterdam against Arsenal. And then the return in Highbury, yeah, I remember such a special pitch. I remember actually the training the evening before as well. You know, the pitch was in such a remarkable state. It was unbelievable. I never played on a pitch like that. And the quality was actually unbelievable. And to play next day in that stadium was, I mean, a day I will never forget. You know, it's an impressive stadium, not in size-wise, but the atmosphere, everybody knows how close the crowd is to the pitch, so that's very special, and you don't see that in a lot of stadiums.
Yeah, so you were, I guess, one of the lucky ones who played at both Highbury and the Emirates Stadium, and then Emirates Stadium became your home. Let's just go back to when you did sign. There's a lot of focus on you because you were the only signing that Arsenal made that summer, replacing Kolo Touré. Did you feel like there was a lot of pressure on you? People were looking at you to come straight in and be a success straight away?
I mean, of course, you always feel the pressure when you go to a big club like Arsenal. At that time, I didn't really heard a lot from the outside, you know, what they were saying about me. What you are saying, that I was the only signing, I can't remember that, so I didn't know that actually. But of course, you feel the pressure when you go to a big club like that. And I was quite an unknown as well for a lot of people when I came to England, so that adds up the pressure as well, yeah.
You started well, perfect way, didn't you? Your debut against Everton, that 6-1 win. I want to talk about that for a bit because the build up, you're starting a new season in a new league, a new country. Can you remember the build up towards the game? Were you nervous? Were you excited? What were your emotions going into your first match?
Yeah, of course I was nervous. I think it's normal. You show yourself for the first time to the Arsenal fans, to the English crowd. So of course you're nervous. It's a big game for you. But as I said, always when the whistle goes, the nerves go, you know, and you just focus on your game and try to do as good as you can. So that changed quite quickly. And I remember saying also the build-up in that week that we were, I think I was in the shower with a couple of players, and I remember some of them saying like, Everton away as a first league game, it's not easy, you know, like Everton away is always difficult, and that has proven in the next 4 years as well, it's always difficult to go there. So they were warning me as well. So that was not easy. But the game went to plan. It's you can't have a better start. I mean, we won 6-1, and in your debut game, you make like a goal as well. So that is special. And I think it's massively important. You start very well with your new club, and that helped me massively.
Yeah, and it was a young team as well. Certainly in defence, I know that there was yourself, Gael Clichy, Bakary Sagnol, still young, Almunia in goal. Who helped you really in that team? Who would you say were your early mentors in that team and helped you come through the day?
I mean, next to me, I had, of course, a very experienced guy in William Gallas. You know, I played a lot of games. I think the first games I played in that year, almost every game I played with him. And he helped me a lot because his experience was very important. For me, and he was very good to me as well. He was very nice to me. He helped me a lot, and of course, always Robin as well. Robin, we could speak Dutch, although I could speak English as well. But I think it's nice to speak in the same language. So he helped me a lot in those early days as well.
And your first season was excellent in England, and you'd scored 5 goals, I think, by October, and 8 by the end of the season, which was the highest for any Premier League defender. You're building yourself a reputation as not just a good defender, but a goal scorer for Arsenal as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite unexpected for me as well. I mean, we've learned in Holland to go, as a defender, to go into midfield, try to pass the ball, you know. So we'll always, I don't see that a lot in England, maybe now more. But at that time, maybe the players were a bit shocked when I went into midfield with the ball. I was used to do that, and I had a lot of like free space. So when I had the space, I just went forward. So I came maybe more in those goal scoring positions. And Yeah, I mean, it was unexpected for me, but as I said, it made my start of my Arsenal career only easier.
And it was working. As I said, you scored all those goals, and that season went well for you. There were some interesting moments in that season. I think one early on when we played away to Manchester City, when Emmanuel Adebayor, who had just joined City from Arsenal, ran the length of the pitch to celebrate in front of the Arsenal fans when he scored. What are your memories of that day, of what the players were saying to each other afterwards? Had you ever seen anything like that before on a pitch?
No, I never seen anything like that. It was quite surprising. And I mean, my memories of that day was that it was actually the first big setback in those early days. I think the first couple of games went very well. I think we had the Celtic playoffs as well in the Champions League.
That's right, yeah.
Went very well. But then after we had, like, I think it was a Man United game and a Man City game. I don't know which one was first. But, yeah, I think the Man City game was a bit disappointing. Already early on, we conceded a few goals, I think, from a free kick. And personally, it was not my best game either. So that was a big disappointment, yeah.
And we spoke about your goals. One of your goals that season came in that infamous game at Stoke, away at Stoke, when obviously Aaron Ramsey had his leg broken. There was a lot of emotion around that day, obviously, in the team. And your goal, I think, made it 3-1. Late on, didn't it? Tell us about your emotions of that day and how it affected the whole team.
Yeah, I remember it was a tricky game, a very tough game. For me, it was also the first experience playing in Stoke. Of course, I've been warned before by the coach, by the players, how it is to play there. They played very physically. I remember the lap was still there with his throw-ins. So it was not easy, you know, to play against him. And I think we got 1-0 down as well. I was not sure. So it was a very difficult game earlier, and then we came back. And then, of course, the incident with Aaron, I was quite close by it to that incident, and I saw exactly what happened, and I saw the injury itself as well. So that was a difficult moment. And I remember the reaction of the team after was like a real team spirit came up, and we were actually saying to each other, let's do it for Aaron. And of course, it came down to 10 men, but luckily we could seal the game with another goal and go away with a victory. Because, I mean, it was a sad day anyway with the injury of Aaron, but luckily we get away with the 3 points.
So if you were quite close and you saw the incident, how long did that affect you for? Not just then that game, but did it affect you for the next few weeks? I guess you can't get an image like that out of your head very easily.
No, of course, you remember that image for a long time. I was just basically very sad for Aaron, you know. I knew how long it would take him out. He's a good guy, a great player. We had missed him for a long time. I was very sad for him. Personally, it didn't make me scared or anything on the pitch. That didn't change my way of playing. It was just like, as I said, I was more scared, more sad for him for what happened.
And you said that the other players warned you about going to places like Stoke. Do you think that sometimes Arsenal players were taken away from their game, away from their usual game, because they were going to these intimidating places and were too busy playing the occasion and not the game?
Of course, if you look back at the results, we didn't always have great results at Stoke. So, I mean, I believe playing on a ball side that like wants to be in possession is still the best way to play football. I think, of course, you need to be physically prepared. But I still prefer that, and I think it's the best way to be the physical team as well. But yeah, maybe we were at some games in Stoke, we were distracted by the way they play, and maybe that was down to some experience, maybe intimidated by the team, I don't know. But yeah, that could be definitely a part, yes.
But your first season, as I said, was a big success. You were named in the Premier League team of the season. You played more often than any other Arsenal player that season. But then it finished at White Hart Lane. You got that injury that would rule you out for the most of the next season. Was that anything to do with that injury, or was it a separate injury entirely?
No, these two injuries had nothing to do with each other. I mean, the injury I had in Tottenham was basically just a small calf strain. It was a complicated thing in the end, because we didn't not really know what was going on. It was a very tricky injury. It was not the Achilles itself. It was actually a tendon next to it.
Yeah, that was a strange time, because it was September, I think, when you got the injury initially, and he didn't play again until May. So how that must have been so frustrating, coming off the great first season that you'd had and not knowing how long it'd be out for. How did you get through that time?
That was difficult, of course. I mean, that was also my first, like, the longest time I've been out of the game. I remember I had some difficult moments because it's especially when you don't know what was going on, makes you very insecure. You want to know what the injury is so you can work to your towards coming back. And at that time, I didn't know. And I had always setbacks, which makes it much harder. You work towards a certain date, you feel better, better, but then you have a setback. Something is not right. And that was happening a couple of times in that year. So that was very difficult. And after when the surgery was there, I knew the solution and then you can work towards coming back. But in this, I think it was like 8 months. It was very difficult, yes.
But you came back in 2011-12 season. Did you feel like you were back to your best that season?
I think I had a good preseason. But then again, it happened on the other side. The same problem what I had on I think, I don't know, can't remember which side it was first, but the other side, the same problem occurred. And then we actually, more as a precaution, we said like, oh, okay, let's do the surgery now. It'll always only take you 4 weeks to come back. So early on in that season, I think it was actually just before the Man United game when we had a big defeat. I think that's when it happened. And then I had the surgery after.
So you had basically the same injury twice. One time it kept you out for a whole season. The other time it kept you out for just a few weeks.
Yeah, because basically we at that time the second season I didn't know what was going on, so that's why that took me so long to come back. And after we knew what was going on, it took only 4 weeks. So as I said, it wasn't actually a very big injury, but in the second season it cost me 8 months. Yes.
And by that time, Arsenal had signed Laurent Koscielny and Per Mertesacker as well. Who did you prefer playing alongside more? Who suited your game more? I know sometimes you all three played and you played at left back as well, but when you played in the middle, who did you prefer playing alongside?
Well, that's a difficult question. It's also difficult to choose. I mean, I think Laurent came first. I think Laurent came in my second season and Per came in my third season, if I remember well. I was actually very impressed with Laurent when he came the second season. Again, somebody who not a lot of people knew in England, but he was very impressive in training. I remember playing alongside him at the Emirates Cup at the Emirates, the preseason games, and I was very impressed with him, the way he played. So I really liked his game. He was very aggressive in tackling. He was not the tallest, not the biggest, but I mean, very quick, anticipating in front of his strikers. So it was I was very impressed. And then after Per came, I think on deadline day on my third season. Great guy. Also a very good player. I think positionally, he's a very clever player. I think a lot of people underestimate how good he is. So that's why it's very difficult for me to choose between those two. Them two played as well, a lot together as well. So it's, yeah. I think the coach find it difficult to find, to see who was playing well with each other. So no, I think it, for me, it's difficult to choose which one is the best. They have both qualities, but also different qualities.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And from that season, I particularly remember your last minute winner against Newcastle at Emirates Stadium, when I think Tim Krul had been wasting time quite a lot that evening, and it all came back to haunt him when we got the last minute winner. What, tell us about your emotions that day, your memories of that night.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable memory. One of the memories I will never forget, of course, in my Arsenal career. And I think Newcastle was a direct rival as well for Champions League spot, if I'm correct. So that was a very important game for us. We were very close in points. I think if they won or drew that game, they would go above us. I'm not sure. Yeah, that late winner was very important. And actually, it started from the back. There was no intention. It was not like we regained the ball very, very deep in our half. And I just remember just going forward and not thinking. And luckily, I think it was Theo who crossed that ball. He just came in front of my feet and just not thinking and just scoring. And I mean, the players were like, the fans and the players were so happy. It was a very important goal as well. And I mean, one of the most important goals I scored in my Arsenal career.
That season, it went all the way to the last day of the season. That really nervy game away to West Brom. We won 3-2 in the end to get back into the Champions League. How did the players cope with the nerves and the tension? Because it was almost unbearable at times.
I mean, I think it depends on the player, how he copes with it. It's more in terms of the build up towards that game. You know, you're building up tension, you've been building up nerves. I think it's more nerve-wracking for the fans, even for the staff, the players on the bench or outside who don't have any influence on the game. I always find when you're on that pitch and the whistle goes, you're focusing on your game, so the nerves go. It's more before the game, you realize how important this game is for the club, for the fans, for everybody. But once the game is on, you just focus on the game and try to do as good as you can.
Okay, and then it was that summer that you were named Arsenal captain going into the next season. Can you tell us a bit about how is an Arsenal captain appointed? Does Arsene Wenger have a meeting with you? Does he just announce it one day? How's the process work for that?
I don't think we had a big meeting, but I remember the year before I was vice captain after Robin. So I think it was just more like a natural process, you know, because Robin left. So and then the coach or the boss appointed me to be the next captain. It was like a normal process, and it's not like a big meeting. He knew me as a person, he knew me as a player, so I think he thought I was suitable to be the captain.
And as you say, Robin left, and you were his vice captain. He was the captain. You were close as well. You mentioned that earlier in the interview. So, would you ever try to tell Robin, "Look, we need you at Arsenal. Don't go. Can you stay?" Was there any conversations like that, or does it not really work like that among players?
No, of course. But the thing is, for me, it was also some sort of a surprise he left. You know, of course, I knew things were always going on, but to hear all of a sudden he left for Man United was a big surprise as well. Of course, we talked like, okay, I wanted him to stay at Arsenal because that year, his last year at Arsenal was, I think he was player of the PFA, player of the year as well. If I remember, so he had a great season, best season ever, I think, in his career. So I wanted him to stay and to be a legend. But of course, yeah, Robin is strong in character, so he can't change his mind very quickly. And I think it's a good thing, you know, because that makes him the player that he is as well, you know, and you can't change his mind. And he made his mind up.
And you played 39 times that season, but were you still struggling? Did you still feel you weren't totally over the injury problems? How was your body feeling at that time?
Yeah, if I look at my total last two seasons, I think Arsenal was a bit, I didn't have a great feeling. It was not the same like the previous years. Of course, I had some injuries, injury problems also. I wasn't happy with the way I performed as well. So I was struggling a bit with that. And then I think towards my last season, I remember Laurent and Per playing a lot of times together. So I was sitting more on the bench and actually playing. So considering if you take these 2 years, my last 2 years was a bit of a disappointment, yes.
And a lot of people were saying at that time that particular Arsenal side was young and it lacked maturity on the pitch. Was that difficult for you to hear as the captain of that team? Or did you secretly agree that, yes, we do need a bit more maturity?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually throughout my whole Arsenal career, the same issues came back. I think they have to be more mature, as you say. They need more physical presence in the middle. They need to be more experienced players. That was actually throughout my whole Arsenal career. But I think considering that, we still did well. I mean, the English Premier League is not easy, and we still, in my years when I was there, we still were in the top four. I know the Arsenal fans were expecting more, because of the years before, the experience they had, like in winning the league, winning the FA Cup a couple of times. So that was not easy. And it was actually throughout my whole 5 years, the same, every year, the same thing came back. But I was, of course, that's not easy to hear, that people doubt you and you always have to prove them wrong. And of course, that's not easy.
And that season, I guess one of the low points would have been that Bradford Cup game.
Yes.
Which I guess Arsenal fans and yourself probably want to forget, but you scored the equaliser that game and it looked like it was going to be okay. Looked like we were going to get away with it. And then it went to the penalty shootout. Tell us how difficult that was to cope with.
Yeah, a bit disappointment again. I mean, throughout that season, I had a few disappointments. I wasn't happy with some performances I did, so that was not easy. So I went into that game. I remember it was a difficult, tricky game as well. It was very, very, very cold. I think it was a midweek game. They played very physical. They had a very long striker up front where they played all the long balls to, and then that the tricky small striker was running into spaces. So we didn't cope with that very well. I remember in the first half or even in the second half as well. But then coming back from, I think, a 1-0, me scoring the equaliser. I mean, we were still positive going into this penalty shootout. And yeah, penalty shootout, I think I missed a decisive one. And as I said, yeah, it's just very disappointing to, you just feel like you let the fans down, you let the club down. Another chance of like winning a trophy, because everybody was talking about Arsenal not winning a trophy for a long time. So for us, that was a very important game. So I was very disappointed after that game. I remember that.
Were you starting to feel like how are we going to end this trophy drought? Well, it must have been a more of a mental thing than anything for the players.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the more you talk about it, the more it gets in your head. So you try to want to focus on the things where you have to do at that time. You know, you don't try to look too far ahead. Just go to training every day in, day out, and make sure you get better every day and get better as a team. Don't think about too much on the things on the outside, what people are saying, what people are thinking. And just focus on your job and make sure you do it as well as you can, and you don't have any regrets later on. Like, oh, I thought I could do better there, or I didn't do the effort there. And make sure you do that every day. And then hopefully, you know, that brings you back to winning trophies.
And of course, that's what you did. You said you were worried about being the first captain that Arsenal didn't qualify for the Champions League under. But in fact, you were the first captain to lift the trophy for 9 years. Did you have mixed emotions though that day because you didn't play in the final, or did you feel like, no, this is, I'm the captain of this team and we've won the cup?
Yes, I was very happy that day. I remember that. Of course, I was disappointed not to play in the final, but I remember I played the semi-final. I'm not sure how many games I played in that cup competition that year. I think a few more. I think it was against Tottenham as well, I think we played. So I played a few games. So I definitely felt like it was my cup as well. Of course, I was disappointed not to play, but I was more before the game. But when we actually won that cup, I was very happy for the team, for the club. Now, I was there for 5 years, already a long time. So as you say, people were talking about how long we did a win cup. So I was very pleased that day.
And did you know that afternoon that would be your last game for Arsenal? Had your move already been pretty much arranged by then?
No, nothing was arranged by then. No. I didn't know that was my last game. Everything was afterwards. The deal was done in the summer. I think I went back for the first week of my pre-season as well, in end of July, August, for the new season. Yeah. So the deal was done, I think, in the middle of the transfer window. So when we were playing the cup final, I had no idea of leaving the club.
So why did the move happen? Was that your decision? Was it the club's? Was it a mixture? Can you talk us through the process of when you left?
I think it's more both, the club and me. I think, of course, it was a big club as well. It was FC Barcelona. It was at that time a very, very big club. They were winning the Champions League. So it was not like I was moving to some club nobody knew. So I was very flattered by the interest of such club. And I think Arsenal and Barcelona, they had a deal quite quickly. The deal went quite easily. So I think it was basically both decisions that we went separate ways. And I mean, I was some part very sad about it as well, because to be honest, even though in my last 2 years I was sitting on the bench a couple of times, I was very happy in London at the club, the people who were working there. So it was not easy, but as you say, I was very flattered by the interest of Barcelona. So I was very excited to go there as well.
But would you say, looking back at your time, how would you sum up your time at Barcelona overall? Because you did win a few trophies there as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I won a couple of trophies, yes. And if you look back, of course, I struggled with injuries now and then. But if I look back at it, when I played, and I think that the people were happy with the way I played, and the coaching staff throughout the 5 years or 4 years I was there, they were always happy with me, how I performed when they called upon me and when I played games. So, of course, it was a difficult time because I had some injuries there, and it was with ups and downs. But there were times as well like I was playing well, and I felt like I could reach the level what was required to play for that club. And I played some nice games as well. Like I remember in the Bernabeu, the Clásico, I could play. So I had good moments, but also low moments as well. So by the end, I have no regrets going there, and it was a great experience as well.
And then Japan, just tell us why Japan? I mean, it's a big change, a big culture change, I guess, for yourself and for your family. Why did you choose to go to Japan?
Yeah, I mean, it was very excited. The interest of Japan came already. Andres Iniesta was here, a teammate I knew from FC Barcelona. It was another teammate, and Villa was here. Yeah, the connections is there between Barcelona and the club I play, and Vissel Kobe, the club I play now. We have the same sponsor. The connections are there. And I was very excited also because I think Japan is a great country. It's something totally different that we know, but it's a country with a lot of culture, a lot of things to see. I think when I'm older, I think it's something special to say, like, I lived in Japan with my family. I think it was great. It is great for my kids as well to come here and experience the life in Japan. It's just totally different that we used to in Europe, but a great way of living.
And we mentioned the penalty shootout against Bradford. I understand you had another interesting penalty shootout recently. Tell us about that.
I think it's a world record, no? I think it was nine penalties missed in a row. Never happened. And I'm not particularly proud of it to be in that list, though. But it is a world record. So I don't think a lot of coaches will ask me to take a penalty again. But yeah, again, I was like, I wasn't in the first five, though, to take a penalty. But I was the sixth or seventh in penalty take. And again, it was decisive when I could have, if I scored that, we won the game, but I missed again. And I was massively disappointed with myself because I thought I was confident. I think we played a good game. It was a tough game, but I thought we played well, and I was confident I would score that goal. But I was very disappointed. I saw it going way over the bar, so I was I was not happy with that. But luckily, we could win the game and then win the cup as well.
And so, what's going to be for you after football? Do you think, are you going to stay involved in the sport, coaching or media? What do you see yourself doing after football?
Yeah, the moment we're doing together with the Belgian Federation as a national team, we're doing we will be able to do the coaching badges. So I'm doing now the license B and A, and we can do that in 1 year. So that's a special opportunity they gave us. So that's why I'm started now in the beginning of the season. So and actually I'm enjoying doing it, learning something totally different. So it's a thing I love, you know, football. So it's something I might be involved with later on after my career. It's I'm not sure yet, but I think it's something I would consider doing. Yes.
And coming back to London one day, maybe back to Emirates Stadium.
Probably yes. I have a house in London, so normally when I have 3 days or I'm holiday, then I sometimes go to London. So my wife is English, so she loves London, and I always love to go back to London. It feels like home. Going back there, I love it. I haven't been able yet to go back to the Emirates. Only when I played with Barcelona, I played the Champions League against Arsenal. Then I went back, and that's the only time. But I would love to go back and watch a game one day, and hopefully go back to the training ground as well, because there were lovely people that are working there. So I would love to go and meet them again. But at the moment, it's a bit difficult with because I'm so far away. But hopefully after my career, I can go back and see them.
Okay, Thomas, that's great. We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for your time today. It's great to catch up with you again.
Thank you for having me.
And if you've enjoyed this episode at home, please leave a rating and review at iTunes, and remember to click on that subscribe button. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.